So last week we had most everybody attend. If you didn't attend, we laid the groundwork for what do we mean by social justice or social morality, whereas we did a foundational session right out towards the beginning of January, and then we looked at issues. After laying the foundation, now we're going to look at some issues, some important social issues that involve morality. Again, what's morality? What does morality mean? It's what? It's how you live your values, yeah. And for Christians, what's our number one value or prime directive? Life. Yeah, life is the most valuable. Okay. So just a quick summary, very quick summary from last week. What the church did in the 20th century, in the 1980s and 90s, under the direction of Rome, was to take a whole large body or group of doctrine and teaching on our social teaching, our values, as they apply to society, and to boil them down into something that could easily be taught. And so this is a visual of nine principles as they were proposed by the Catholic bishops in their 1998 document. And so at the center, you can see, is the prime directive, right? Human dignity, the number one value, is the dignity of human life. And then built on that are all the other principles. If this is true, then we respect life at all times without exception. If that's true, then what is important is being part of a family and being a part of a larger family, a community. And it's not just being a member, but it's a participating member. If that's true, you know, it's how they build on each other, then all human beings have certain rights, basic human rights, like food, water, shelter, healthcare, religious freedom, freedom in general. And with those rights come duties. We don't just have these rights, but we have the duty to protect them and to stand up for them. Okay. If that's true, then everything we are doing needs to be oriented towards working towards building up the common good, meaning what's good for everyone. We don't have striations or levels in society where some have more good and others have quite a bit less good. Everyone, when it comes especially to basic human rights, based on our dignity as human beings, that everyone should be participating equally in the common good. If that's true, then we understand why the church has a preferential option for the poor, based on Jesus' preferential option for the poor. Remember, we defined that last week as, it's not that God's playing favorites, it's not that he loves the poor more than those who aren't poor. God loves all of us unconditionally and infinitely. What it means is just what we see in the Gospels, that for those in our society that are not granted human dignity or respect, don't have full participation, don't have the full rights, aren't participating in the common good, those were the people that Jesus, when he came into a town, went to first. They always got served first. He raised them up to the same level. So what that means for us in society is, whenever we're making decisions about society, laws, how things are going to be allocated, funding, all that type of stuff, the number one, or those who are poor and who are vulnerable get put to the front of the line. They should, if we're doing things with a Christian perspective, a Christian set of morals. Then it rounded out by saying that work itself has dignity because it helps provide for families, and it allows the individual to realize the gifts that God gave them and develop them and to offer them as a gift to others. Okay. And therefore, if human beings have dignity and work itself is dignified, then rights for workers are something that all society should guarantee. Safety. Reasonable work hours. Reasonable pay. Breaks. Maternity leave. Paternity leave. All these things come from this idea of work being sacred. Okay. Finally, then, we go to the concept of solidarity. If all of these things are true, and we apply these consistently, then it means that any person we meet, no matter whether we know them or not, whether we have something in common with them or not, whether they live in the same area we do or the other side of the world, that they're our brother and our sister. If God's our Father, then we are all brothers and sisters. And if we look at other people in that way, we look at them the way God does. And then we can't help but honor all of these principles. Finally, We can't honor the dignity of human life and God himself, the source of life, if we don't take care of the creation that God has put in place to support life. And so that's what stewardship is. That we are partners with God in caring for creation so that it does support life. That old African proverb that the world we live in, it's on loan to us from our grandchildren. If we looked at it that way, and we're going to leave a great gift to our grandchildren, then we couldn't help but take care of creation in the way that God intends for us to, the way that God does. Okay? Quick, really quick summary for anybody that wasn't here last week. Hopefully you got a chance to listen to the audio from this last week. Questions about this? Okay. Keep this in mind when we're talking about the issues this week and next week. And if you need to or want to, try to use that vocabulary, or at least the idea of any of these concepts. When you're trying to support what you believe is morally correct as far as how a Christian would deal with circumstances with these issues. Okay? All right. So our issue today, and I doubt we're going to get to a second issue today. This one just proves over time to take a lot of time and attention in discussion. Okay? So we're going to talk about the issue of abortion. We're going to follow the same format we did with the moral issues. So we want to define what it is and what it isn't, because we can get mixed up in our conversations if we're not on the same page. Then we'll discuss what we believe and why, and do some sharing in small groups. And then we'll bring it back to the whole group. Then we bring it back to the whole group. I'm going to offer some information that might not come up in conversations too. And then we're going to need to ask some really poignant questions about us as members of the church and how we approach this issue. Okay. So when we talk about abortion, how would you define that word?
Artificially induced miscarriage?
We might actually want to make that a little bit more general.
Aborting of a fetus? Aborting of a life?
Okay, so aborting, what do we mean by aborting a fetus?
A baby is a fetus. Terminating pregnancy.
Okay. Those happen naturally too, right?
Right.
So we're talking about is human beings choosing to terminate life within the womb. I mean, that's general. Purposely, by choice,
terminating
life in the womb. Now, you know that this is an issue around the world, not just our own country, but it's a big political issue in our country, too. And so how you define that life, and I already heard different terms, fetus, it's not a fetus, it's a baby. That's where the disagreements are, right?
Okay.
But everyone would agree. I mean, anyone that understands the basic elements of science, because what's growing in the womb is alive, by scientific definition, that it's artificially, a human being is choosing to terminate life within the womb. Okay. Now, what do Catholics believe? What does the Catholic Church teach in regards to abortion? Our definition would be even more specific, that abortion is, you said violation. It's a violation of the prime directive. Okay. It's a violation of the central moral issue around which all other moral issues revolve. Okay, that it's killing a human life. Okay, now notice how I changed the definition there. The general definition would be choosing to terminate life within the womb. As Catholics, we believe that's a human life. We believe at the time of conception, that's a human life. So if that's a human life, what else do we believe about human life? All human life has certain basic rights. Remember that whole wheel that went around, we have to respect. And what are the rights?
Food, healthcare, clothing,
shelter.
All of that.
Okay. So certainly murder at any age would violate that,
right?
Inside the womb or outside the womb. Okay. That's what the church teaches. Questions before we discuss it today? It will never be this quiet again tonight. No questions? Okay, so we understand the term, abortion, and we understand what the church teaches.
Okay. Why is it there are certain stages where I think it's fair to say that there are certain capacities that that a child developing in the womb cannot think and feel in the same way that a fully developed human can. So why is it the Catholic Church's idea that the life growing inside of a woman's stomach is of equal value to us, to somebody who is walking amongst us?
Okay, you're starting your table discussion.
Right.
And so you're going to wrestle with these issues in your table, and from each other, hear from each other, and then we'll answer these thoroughly. Okay. But to give you, to at least answer your question, our belief is that when God creates with the full potential, whether it's realized yet or not. Okay. So take a look at a seed for a plant. All the genetic material is there. Everything that's necessary is there, except for the proper environment, right? Mm-hmm. So that would be warmth and water and proper soil. And then it sprouts, and then if it's still nurtured well, it will produce fruit. Okay. Human life is never completely, at any stage, completely realized. We don't believe we're completely realized and actualized until we're fully in the full presence of God's love, which would be when we're done with this earthly existence. Okay. So the idea is, and then an argument there, and I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but the argument would be what science already knows too, is when an egg and a sperm unite, what science teaches, that when an egg and a sperm unite into an ovum, at that very moment, the very basic, all genetic material for that entire life, however long that life lives, is there. Yes. So it has the full potential. It's just growing. And we're growing at every stage of our life. Okay. So, and another way of saying that is, when God creates in fullness. So that means that full potential is there, and the fullness of a human being is not just a body, right? It's a body and it. Right. We're a corporeal and a spiritual being. So if God created in fullness, then the moment that ovum was created, the soul is united with that body. Okay? Yeah. Any other questions?
All right.
Now, if I ask you to raise your hand, and I'm not, so don't. If I ask you to raise your hand and say, if you know someone either who's a family member or a friend who's had an abortion, I doubt that there would be very many hands that would not be raised. So it touches us in a personal way. Okay. And if you don't raise your hand, I might submit that you do, but they never shared that with you. Okay? So part of what I want to stress from the very beginning in our sharing is, this is not about judging people and their hearts and the situation they're in or the pressure they feel or the callousness, it could be that sometimes too, or whatever the reason was for making that choice. Okay? Remember what we said. We're not the judge. Who's the judge?
God.
Okay, and that God, that judge is merciful.
Sure.
Right? Okay. So, what I'd like you to do is talk about this. If this is what the church teaches, and you're coming into full communion in the church by being fully initiated, whatever sacraments you're receiving, this is not a negotiable thing as far as what we believe. So I imagine some of you are wrestling with this. Even just what Ian shared. So I could see where he was heading with this. Okay. There are many different views about this that some are diametrically opposed to what the church teaches, and some are not as far away as diametrically opposed. So different degrees of separation. Okay. Talk about it. Share. Ask your questions. Rant. Whatever it takes. However you feel. And then when we've given a good amount of time for this, I'm like a good referee going to call time out. And then we're going to take a break and have something to eat and then come back. And tables, decide what you want to share, what was most prominent or important to your conversation. And I'll do my best, along with the rest of the team, to make sure that when you walk out of here, you have a more complete understanding of the church's teaching. Because just saying we're opposed to abortion, while that is true and not negotiable, is, in my experience, farsighted. Okay? So we need to have some balance here in the way that we apply that prime directive.
Okay.
Ready? On your mark? Set? Go! All right. Did I not predict this correctly? We're only going to be able to do this one issue tonight, right?
Sure.
Okay. No problem having enough to talk about and seeing for all the tables, right?
Some might have ended a little bit sooner, but
those just had nine people in order for, I think we had a couple at nine, in order for everybody to have a chance to talk.
Okay. Now, in all the conversation that we had, does it change the church's teaching?
No.
So, at our table, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but at our table, one person wanted to apologize after me, afterwards to me. Okay, go ahead, raise your hand. Didn't want to come across disrespectfully, and I said, absolutely not. 6 years ago, up to 6 years ago, we would just teach what the church teaches, and then people would leave and have conversations on the way out. Well, I don't think I believe that. I'm not sure I believe that. I have this opinion or that opinion. And it dawned on us, wait a minute, we do a disservice at just saying what the church teaches. The purpose of the church on earth is to be the body of Christ on earth. Right. We say we are the body of Christ, right? The whole thing with the Eucharist too. We are Christ's heart and hands and feet and eyes and mind and passion, all of that. But in a very real way, the church's job is to be Christ on earth. And Christ called himself the way, the truth, and the life. Now notice, the prime directive, life, truth, stand up for what's true, and he's the way. We follow him. Okay? So the church has to be true to Christ. And so the church is going to stand up for the truth as revealed in Scripture, as revealed by Christ when he was on earth, and has continued to be applied to modern truths, modern issues, as time goes on. That's the church's job. And to do it without compromise, without apologizing, even when it's not popular. Okay? So I realize that the church's teaching is not embraced by all people in this country, and many of them Christian, and many of them Catholic. But remember what we talked about for morality, personal and social. And this is both, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's social in the sense that it's legal in our country. It's social in the sense that it's a political debate, and so the people that we elect, oftentimes, we're taking into consideration where they land on the issue, right? It's personal in the way that it affects people's lives individually and as a family. But remember what we said, that we all answer to God. That when we make a moral choice, we make the best moral choice we can. And in the end, we choose what we believe is true. But not just our personal belief. It has to be based on real truth and values. Otherwise, why did Christ even come? We can all just have our individual definitions of truth and what's right. I mean, either life is the most important thing or it's not. And most of us live that most of the time. The way we respect our own lives, the way we respect others. This is a particularly difficult thing because there are a lot of issues that get mixed up, personal and political. The bottom line is this. The church says you make your choice based on what you understand is right, but you have to have an informed conscience. And the corollary to that is if what you believe is right is contrary to the church, caution, caution, caution. Because this is 2,000 years of the most wise and holy men and women, not just men, men and women, over time. Yes, the church has tended to be male-dominated, but when the church has been in great error, God has sent wonderful women to correct it. St. Teresa of Avila comes to mind, and many others. Right, with that said, what do we struggle with? What was the conversation that was difficult?
We ever make exceptions for rape or incest.
Let's just float some things to the surface without necessarily talking about them, because we could divert all the time on one and never get to a comprehensive thing. So one thing we identified was that. What else were issues that were difficult for us, or we find difficult?
The conflict between the health of the mother as opposed to the health of the child.
Okay, so another one that's identified. What if the mother's health is in danger? What would the church say there? That if it's brought to term, then you're going to lose the mother and possibly both lives. Okay.
Well, you're saying
too good.
You're saying that all the ones that continuously stated are accepted by the church?
No.
We're just raising these issues.
Okay,
what else?
Typically developing fetus between versus non-fetus developing fetus.
Okay, so one that has a genetic disease or illness or anomaly.
Okay.
What is it? How does the church land on that? So what Kim started off with saying, are there exceptions to the rule?
Yes.
Okay, so these are three things that we ask. What else?
Have you having a problem talking to a friend who you believe to be a friend or a family member, and then giving them your opinion?
And they don't want to hear your opinion.
Okay. That's not an exception, but that's one of the issues that was discussed.
Okay.
We could also talk about like the schools and what they teach about abortion.
Okay. Not an exception thing again, but another issue that was talked about. How about another exception? There was one that was brought up here. What was
physical abnormalities?
Oh, we talked about that. Oh, what about a single parent or both parents not able to provide for the child? So a child's going to be born into a situation where they're not going to have the basic rights, or could even end up being abused. So that was another.
But then it can't.
At arch, right?
Right.
So make sure I address all of them, or excuse me, make sure you address all of them. I'll lead you through. Is there another? Another two.
That's not an exception.
What's not an exception?
The fact that there's a rape brought into where the mom and the dad don't make enough. If they don't make enough, then why are you having children if you don't think you can provide for them?
But some people would think that might be an exception.
What?
Some people might think that would be an exception.
Four people need more sex.
You're assuming everyone's responsible.
I know, right?
I think
so. You should be more responsible.
All right. Can we agree on this? That abortion as birth control is way different than these other issues we're talking about. So for people who are just having sex, unprotected, not caring, and then they become pregnant, their solution, their birth control method is abortion. You also know that abortions have risks to women's bodies too, and the more they have, the more risks there are. Not just to their health at the moment, but future health, and even viability later on when they want to have children. Okay, so there's all kinds of issues wrapped up in this. Let's talk about the exceptions. So the first one was, remind me, Kim?
Rape
and incest. Okay. Rape and incest accounts for, depending on the survey you look at, slightly less than 1% or up to 2% rape or incest of abortion, of the reasons why women give for abortion. Okay. So one of the things I would say, just logically, as a person a citizen of this country that's not comfortable with this being the law of the land, I would say I'd be a lot more comfortable if the law were to allow that one exception.
We'd eliminate what?
98 to 99%. Well, theoretically, but then if it's illegal, people are still going to look for abortion. I understand that, and then there's issues with that too. Right, but wouldn't that be a lot more palatable if you believe abortion's wrong? A lot more. Okay. The reality is, the life that's created, that's the rub. That doesn't change. Every human life is created in the image and likeness of God. With a purpose. That's God's purpose. So even that, the church would say, it's not right to abort that child. It would be right to give that child life and place it in a situation where the child and the person who faced the trauma would thrive. Now there are plenty of stories, you can check them out on the internet, of women who have been raped and even incest that have taken a child to term and offered it up for adoption. There's also a handful of stories of women who've been raped and actually kept the child. I don't know how that works. Not just for the woman, but if the woman's married, for the husband. That would take a lot of
time, I would think.
But in order to do that, they must look at that life and say, that life is good, that life has purpose, even though it came out of anger and a crime. God has a purpose, and who are we to terminate that? That's what the church would teach.
What was the second?
I'm going to get into each of these a bit. What's another one? We need five or six. What was another?
Mom versus baby.
What's that?
Mom versus baby.
It's never mom versus baby. So we played with that one here, and it was not hard to come up with the church's teaching. Know the prime directive. So if the doctor says If you bring this child to term, the mom's assuredly going to die. Now, again, medicine's an inexact science. There's lots of times when there's diagnoses, and you know the odds are, and then it happens differently. But the odds are, we can tell you, 98% chance that the woman's going to die, unless you terminate pregnancy.
Okay.
What do you do? Prime directive.
Save the life you can.
You save the life you can. You try to save both lives, but you make sure you save one. Okay. So in that case, in saving the woman's life, that procedure is not an abortion. The purpose is not to end the life. The purpose is to try to save both lives, but guarantee you save one. And you hope for the best. You hope for a miracle. Doesn't that make sense? Prime directive, right? Yes.
Except in trying to save both lives, she would need to carry the baby 6-7 months.
No, you would try to save the mother, and in the procedure, hopefully the child would still be able to live, but in 99% of the chance the child won't. See what I mean? So if it means separating the child, taking the child out of the mother prematurely, well, 6 weeks is not going to happen. 6 weeks, the procedure is pretty simple. Six
That's
weeks.
Thinking, like the first 4 or 5 months of pregnancy, you don't scare me.
You would know better than I, but even in an ectopic pregnancy, would it be 6 weeks? Would it be that?
It wouldn't even make that far.
Yeah, it wouldn't make that far. Yeah, so you're usually going to be talking about the end of the first trimester, end of the second trimester. Yeah. And medical science has gotten pretty good. At 6 months, odds are pretty good, unless the child has some abnormalities that you know, incubation and everything they do is going to live. Sometimes 5 months now, right?
Yeah. And not in mature.
What's that?
You have a transplant.
Oh. Yeah, not in mature. You have to send to a special provision. Okay. So the question answer?
Yeah.
The church is very consistent. Always, always, always preserve life. And try to preserve all life, but make sure you preserve what you can. God bless you. Okay, what was another one that we identified?
Genetic
abnormalities. Okay. Now, again, assuming the genetic abnormality is not endangering the mother's health, right? So now what you're going to have is a child that's compromised physically, or what we call normal, physically normal, or mentally normal, right? Okay. What do you think the church should say?
Keep it.
All life has a purpose. All life has a purpose. I can tell you stories of families that have gone through this in our own parish. Even a couple that was told the child will either die in the womb, die during birth, or die soon after. And they carefully brought it to term. And the baby died during childbirth. And they stood up at the baby's funeral and gave a eulogy in the form of a letter written to their child about all the joy that child gave them in the 9 months of the pregnancy. She was their little dancer. She used to dance in the womb. And just the joy that she brought them. Even though, when they first got to hold her, I was there. They had photographers come to take pictures. Like, that was their child.
They wanted to record it that way.
It was the most heart-wrenching and tender, love-filled thing I've ever seen. They took to heart the prime directive. They believed it. They believed that purpose. And that purpose was to touch their hearts. They're forever changed. Happy to say they're pregnant. So far, so good. I can tell you stories, but we don't. It's not easy. It's not. And that's why when people make the choice opposite of what we believe is right and true and just, how can you judge somebody? You put yourself in their situation. I've talked to too many people who've chosen to have abortions later in their life and regret it. And the pressures they were under were enormous. And they say now, not just now because they want to have a child or they don't have the pressures, but even now, after having children, they wish they would have had that child. Because what they figured out was, you're never old enough to have children. You're never ready to have children. You step it up. Children help you learn.
And parents, I've seen parents and they're nodding.
We're all selfish people. But children make us unselfish. Either that or horrible parents. Right?
Yeah.
Other issues. What else did we raise?
Poverty.
Okay. whether the woman is single or there is the father that's willing to be in the picture, neither one of them feel like they're mature enough or have the finances to provide the life for that child. Prime Directive, what would the church say? For them to keep it, even though they know they can't be good parents.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, adoption.
Oh, I meant like keep that as well.
Yeah, save the life. Okay. But the church also teaches, read Humanae Vitae. Remember I told you that's a good document to read? The church teaches parents shouldn't have more children than they can be able to raise and provide for financially, spiritually,
emotionally.
Okay. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're at your limit, or you can't even get your limit, but God has graced a life in your womb, then maybe that life isn't for you to raise. Don't we live in a society where there's this idea of surrogacy all the time? Right? People who can't have children, and they pay women to have children? Wouldn't it be wonderful if, I don't know, if we're a Catholic Church program together with medical professionals and funded with tax dollars where we could have women who know that they can't be a good mother at this time, and we could connect them directly with a couple that's dying to have a child, but they can't afford to go through adoption, surrogacy, whatever the other options are. They can afford to raise a child, but I don't know if you realize the hoops you have to go through, the time it takes, and the cost to adopt a child. There's a couple where one of them was sitting where you were 4 years ago, 5 years ago, going through this right now. And they're faithful. They're in for the long term. They've been doing this for 5 months already, and they're just still not halfway through the whole situation, and they're paying the money.
John, they were talking about that point, saying there are American and people in this country who are going outside our borders to go on out and adopt children from all over the world.
Sure.
If they had enough, they could adopt these people in this country.
I know the Catholics had a program like that.
There are programs.
My aunt was adopted. My grandmother actually had to go through RCIA to become Catholic.
There are some programs.
We forced her to go.
let's tiptoe. I'm conscious of the time, but let's tiptoe through a couple of facts, and we're not going to go through all these. They'll be posted online. If you're really interested in this, go back and see these.
Do they just, like, give them a baby, or, like, what transpires there?
No. Adoptions are regulated by the county of the state.
Okay, so
the church can't just say, hey, you know, all you women come here, we'll just...
Give me your baby.
Yeah. The relocation program.
No, you get a baby.
Now, a century ago, it was different.
Yeah.
You had Catholic orphanages, and you could just place, you know, I think you'd be a good family. Here, check them out of the orphanage.
No,
that doesn't
happen. I'm glad, because I was like imagining like a throbbing ghost. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
This is just some ancient teaching, that, just to show that the church, going back to the earliest writings that we have, one of them is called the Didache, has been consistent about abortion. You can take a look at these if you like.
Hello?
We've talked about a lot of this. One of the points on that previous one is scientists who are even in favor of abortion don't disagree that it's human life.
I mean, it's human genetic material, DNA and all that.
It's a human life. And human life we always treat differently. Okay? So part of that, then, it comes down to either you believe that that is a human being, not just human tissue, a human being, that deserves to have its rights protected or not. Okay? This back here. Just some facts about why women choose to have abortions. All of these you, I'm sure, discuss at your tables, or a lot of it has to do with whether you're not prepared at that point in time in life to have a child. And then you see the one there as far as rape and incest. Here's a more updated, that goes to 2005, so the most updated statistics I could pull were 2012, where they looked at that, they updated the survey. And here's some interesting points to make. Having a child would interfere with a woman's education, work, or ability to care for dependents is the number one reason, still. Inability to afford a child, equal percentage-wise. Not wanting to be a single mother or having relationship problems. Okay, what does that mean? Part of the pressure is, it takes two to tango, but seemingly there's a lot of guys that feel like once that's done, they have no responsibility. So why is it that the women bear that pressure and responsibility? Because they're carrying the child.
But that's still not fair. If you go back to Scripture, what did God intend? Right.
The only defense in that is that the man doesn't have a choice in the matter.
It's not a defense.
It's another injustice. It's not a defense. The flip side is there are men who don't have a say, and their child's aborted because they don't...
bottom line, whatever they feel, legally, they don't get to make the choice. They couldn't possibly influence the one who is, but...
Okay. Nearly 40% said they'd stop childbearing.
Almost a third weren't ready to have a child. Fewer than 1% said their parents or partner's desire for them to have an abortion was the most important reason. That one didn't come up on the previous one. So parental pressure or the father pressuring the woman into having an abortion. Younger women often report that they were unprepared for transition to motherhood, while older women regularly cited their responsibility to dependents. What does that mean? I already have 4 kids. Okay. All right. Bottom line. Let's finish with this here. And you can, if you want to go a little longer, I'm okay, but let this be our landing point. We should be able to draw some conclusions, and even those conclusions are going to force questions for us. Okay. First of all, the decision to have an abortion is typically motivated by multiple diverse and interrelated issues. So even those top 2 reasons, oftentimes a woman's feeling both of those, or both of those are the pressure or the reasons they get. The themes of responsibility to others and resource limitations, such as financial constraints and lack of partner support, recurred throughout the study. What does that mean? Women bear the brunt of the pressure, and oftentimes, if they weren't, they clearly say that they didn't want to have an abortion, but they felt no other choice because of all these other issues. What does that mean? They think it's wrong, but they see no other way for them. They see no other way. Again, compassion? If you were in that situation, I mean, we have no right to judge the reasons why somebody does that. We can clearly say that we don't agree that it's right, but we have no reason to judge that person in a way that would make them feel guilty. We have no idea what is going on in their conscience, their heart. You know, let's go back to what we talked about when we talked about sacrament reconciliation. We talked about sin. Sin is when you know something's wrong and you freely choose it just out of self-centeredness, right? Okay. There are some people, there are some Christians and some Catholics who say all abortion is a sin. I don't believe that for a moment. All abortion's wrong. I believe that. But not every abortion is a sin. Think about it. If you were pressured into making a decision in a moment of time, and that pressure was real, psychological, emotional, spiritual, we all know that we don't make good decisions under pressure. Okay. But we also know that sin is when you freely choose that. How many women felt like they were freely making the choice they wanted to make, or they were making the choice they had to make? So again, another way to phrase that. Finally, in addition to addressing the legal status of abortion, what else can we address that would reduce the number of abortions? Well, all those issues we just saw, right?
Here's the point. The church is supposed to be Christ's presence in the world, and to be the truth in the world. The job of the church isn't just to hit people over the head with the truth. The job of the church is to help draw people to the truth, and to give them the support they need to choose the truth. We do a great job of hitting people over the head with the truth. Do we do an equally good job of making it attractive so people really understand why, kind of digging into it like we did here, and understanding all the issues, and then do we address those issues that support people who need to make these decisions to make the right decision? Arguably, no. I'll give you one example. It's only one.
It's just an easy one in a short period of time.
In the city of Ventura, there is one home that supports women who choose to have their child. They're single women. They may have other children, too. And they want to have their child, but they can't afford to do that, and they're dealing with other pressures. Either no father or an abusive father. And so they come to this place, and they're supported through their pregnancy.
Through term.
And for 3 months, they're at the facility afterwards with their baby. They get all the education they need, make sure their health care is taken care of, good diet for their child, education and work training during that type 2 if they need to help them at the end of that 3 months after the birth to be viable and support the child. Okay. One place in the city of Ventura. Do you know what it's called?
Tenderloin.
Do you know how many women they can take care of at the max at any given time?
Six.
I think it's 8. They were trying to work towards 10.
All right.
Let's say it's 10.
In the whole
city of Ventura. It is a Christian environment, and it's supported by all the churches. St. Bonaventure over the years, at least when I was teaching there, the students supported quite a bit, fundraising and doing drives for diapers and whatever else, and all that kind of stuff. But yet, in every Catholic church, and every RCIA class, in every faith formation class, what do we teach? Okay. So, we get the truth out there. Are we making it, are we supporting people to understand and then be able to choose that truth without undue pressure? My opinion, this is one deacon's opinion, we need to do a much better job. We put as much energy in that as we do in getting the truth out. We prevent a lot of abortions, whether it's legal in this country or not. That's my two cents. Okay. Closing comments or questions? Mm-hmm.
Tenderloin, he's asking for volunteers to help. They just do not have enough people. I want to take one up. Very difficult to find that place.
I have the director's phone number for anyone who wants to get involved.
I'll put you right in touch.
How do you help?
You call and ask what they need, and they'll find out what you have to offer, and we'll match you up. You know, sometimes, you know what the guys would do over here at St. Bonaventure? They went over and did all the yard work. Went over and did repairs.
Painted.
Girls did too. But the girls did a lot of the nurturing things in there too. Okay. Other questions or comments?
Is this an easy issue? Did this make everyone
think deeply? Consider,
even
reconsider what you believe and why?
Take what the church teaches seriously,
even if you don't feel like you're 100% on board, at least take it really seriously. That's the purpose tonight. Maybe the last thing to be said is this. Church means family, right? So when someone is faced with a difficult decision, I don't know, just mean abortion, but anything that's difficult in their life, no one's expected to do that on their own. That's one of the advantages of being part of family here, a family this large. You will be supported in your need. You have to be willing to let the family know what you need to. So the key is, at least someone in this community, it doesn't need to be a minister, a priest, or a deacon, it could be anybody in this community that you trust, go to them and let you know what your need is.
We'll rally the church.
We'll figure out. There's a lot of resources in this parish. There's a lot of good people that want to support people in their needs. So.
Right?
Do you feel? You do all of that? All right. Should we end with prayer? In the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Father, we feel so privileged to be a part of the body of Christ. With that privilege, though, comes oftentimes challenges. And we pray that we're up to the challenge. And when our conscience finds issues that are difficult, we pray that the grace that is within us, the grace of the Holy Spirit, will be kindled, will empower us to do what we need to do to stand up for the truth, even if it's unpopular. And when we are in a quandary or a struggle or a challenge, that it will empower us to reach out to our brothers and sisters. And likewise, when our brothers and sisters are in need, we don't hesitate to step up and provide for that need to the degree that we are able. May we truly be your family, the family of God.
And may those who have yet to understand you and become part of the body of Christ see in us your love and your compassion. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.